Welcome back. You are in the class Reading and Writing for College Students. We are now in Unit 9 and talking about how we write college papers. And today, or this section at least, this part of the Unit 9, we'll be talking about the content of papers. So, why do we not have writing skills and paper making skills? Well, how about this? Sometimes in schools we weren't required to write. Maybe we were distracted and we didn't pay attention when we were asked to write an article or to an argument or define a problem, whatever it was you're asked to write. Maybe we didn't care about writing. Maybe it was something that I won't ever need it. And so we never developed our reading skills. Is that what happened? Well, maybe that's what's happened. But you know, the fact is that we all can learn to be better writers. There's not a single one of us that can't learn from other people. There are actually podcasts on the internet that people talk, professional writers talk about how to write better. So we're all in the process of learning to write better. So even if we learn bad habits back when we were in our previous life, let's unlearn them. And it's never too late to start to learn to do things correct. So let's try to do that. So writing is an intellectual task. There's no doubt about that. And it takes a lot of skills. It takes a lot of time. And it is something that for some people will only be partially mastered. And that's okay. In fact, as I just said, no one, I don't think, ever completely masters this. And all the skills we've talked about so far are very complex and very interwoven, whether it be reading, understanding, and learning, whether it be the analytical skills and the critical thinking skills, the actual writing skills where we're trying to communicate properly, suitably, and wisely, as we've learned in other sections, the pre-writing, drafting, revising, and editing skills. All these are things that we have to develop, and the best way to do that is to practice them. Practice makes perfect. So we've talked about many of these skills in the past. We talked about Unit 7, that writing is a process. Unit 8, which we just got done with, we talked about that we need to communicate properly and wisely with correct grammar, correct spelling, correct diction and sentence structure, and all those things that make our writing legible and writing comprehensible, so that others are able to read what we're writing and comprehend it easily. So in Unit 7, we had really the first part, of course, was the pre-writing and the drafting of, that's always the first part. We think about things, and then we start writing something down that we want to get down for others to see. And the whole process of writing is, of course, kind of a circular process where we pre-write, we plan, and then we write down a draft, and then we reflect on that draft. We may go back to the draft. We may talk to someone else, which may take us through revisions or back to the draft. Once we have the revisions done, we may decide we need more information, and then we have to go back to the planning stage again and drafting. And this process is going to go round and round and round until we get it to the point where we're just ready to give those final polishes of editing and proofreading to it and get it ready to print and send out to be printed. And that's a very complex process. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes understanding of many different levels. And this, when we start to write, of course, the content is really going to be started at that first stage of the planning stage or that pre-writing stage. We're going to be collecting information. We're going to be gathering all the sources of information. We're going to be gathering correct sources. We need to make sure we get good sources and not bad sources. We need to evaluate whether they're good or bad. We need to try to get sources that are considered reliable and not those that are unreliable. And we need to take the time to do this. Now, what are these ideas? Where are all the ideas come from that we're going to put in our content? Well, of course, they come from our sources. Those sources can be books. They can be articles from magazines or newspapers. They can be firsthand accounts. They can be primary sources. They can be secondary sources. They can be multiple different things. But when we judge those sources, we have to have, when we get those sources, we have to also have to judge them. This is especially true in the internet area. Now, I can tell you that I'm very thankful for the internet. What I used to take me several days to do, I can do in a matter of a few minutes with the internet. When I would go to write a paper, I remember getting stacks of books, of indexes, not the books, the indexes, that were as high as my head, and there were five or six of them. And I would be going through these indexes looking for the subject that I had to, I was trying to look at, and sometimes I'd decide, oh, that subject's not what I'm actually wanting to find. So then I would have to rethink where I had to get things, and then that might bring another stack of books, indexes out. And literally, it would take 3 days, a week, maybe 2 weeks to go through all these sources, indexes. That wasn't even getting to the readings themselves. That was just looking up particular articles that might be talked to that idea that I want for my content. And so now in a matter of a few minutes, I can have those sources in my hands completely. I can have I can know what the source is, the title. I can know the abstract, the summary of it. And sometimes I can even go and print those articles directly off the internet that I'm looking at. But there is also a problem with the internet, and that there's a lot of unreliable sources out there. And so we have to check if those sources are reliable. If you want, you can go out there and find many good sources that will tell you about the Bible and the resources that you can use to study the Bible better. But you'll also find a lot of sources that will give you false information about the Bible, even sometimes saying the Bible is wrong, and sometimes very aggressively saying the Bible is wrong. So you have to be careful where you're getting sources from. We're going to talk about more what type of sources we need. Typically for college papers, like you're going to be writing, I write today, I grade today with my students, you're going to want to go to academic sources. These are going to be sources that are scholarly. They are sources, they are writings that are made by scholars. So many times they're primary research, meaning that it's direct witness of something. Other times it may be secondary literature, which is speaking of an event. For instance, in history, when we're talking about the Holocaust, we can get primary articles that describe the conditions in the concentration camps. Or we can get secondary articles where people have talked to those people that were speaking directly, the primary sources, about the concentration camp conditions. But you can have other people that are taking those sources and commenting on those sources. The same thing is true of the Bible. You can have the Bible as your primary source, but then you can have commentaries and books that speak about the Bible. Of course, a primary source is always better, but academic articles can be primary, secondary sources. The quality of the writing is going to seek to clarify, explain, or extend concepts that belong to certain disciplines or topics within those disciplines. the academic work is typically going to be found in journal articles, monographs, books of edited readings, conference proceedings and papers, working papers, and theses. Also, they are books where textbooks would be included in this. So textbooks are a form of academic or scholarly work as well. Most of these academic articles, if not all of them, are going to be peer-reviewed or refereed articles. That's where the writer will send his writing to a group of peers, and those peers are going to referee, call like a referee does in a baseball game, call it in or out, good or bad, foul or not, or good. And those peers, because they're going to be people that are expert in whatever area the paper is in, are going to review that article, read that article, and say, is this a good article that is appropriate for our field and appropriate for this journal or for this book, or is it not? If it makes it past the peer review, and if just one of the peer reviewers says no, it will not make it past the peer review, it is then can be printed and it is considered a true scholarly or academic source. Now, we have to have a caveat here. Depending on your discipline, there may be published works, academic journals, or conference papers that are not peer-reviewed. And you have to be careful about this. The peer review process is a long process. It takes several months by the time a paper is sent to the reviewers to the time that it actually can be published. So sometimes some disciplines allow people to get around that. Although for most disciplines, for all disciplines, a peer-reviewed article is considered a higher form of scholarly work than a non-reviewed article or a presentation or work of any sort. There are also non-academic works that are sometimes can be cited. For instance, newspapers or magazines, trade journals. My father is a farmer. My brother is a farmer, and they have journals that are for agriculture that they get. Newsletters, especially those newsletters are eyewitness of certain events, so primary sources. Journals published weekly or more frequently, like Time or Newsweek, those typically, People magazine, those typically are not going to be academic sources. They are going to be non-academic, although there are some academic sources that are published weekly, such as the scientific magazines Nature and Science. There are also journals that are not academic that are published more on a monthly basis. That is not unusual either. And we're going to talk about in a second how we tell what a peer-reviewed article is better. If it's a very short article, one or two pages, it's probably not going to be peer-reviewed, although that is not always the case either, as in some Nature papers. The journal Nature has papers that are sometimes only two pages. And then this is a big tell. If an article has no bibliography or reference, it is not a journal article. It is a non-academic article. One of the biggest ways you can tell is if there's no references, although that is not always the case either. There really are no absolute rules. You have to be very careful when you're looking for peer-reviewed articles. It is sometimes appropriate and even necessary to refer to non-academic publications in assignment to cite them. But again, the peer-reviewed primary research, primary articles are always preferred in your college writing. If you're in doubt whether your article is sufficient, you need to ask and find out whether it is or not. So how do you tell if something is an academic article? Here are some ways, some tips that you can tell. Again, these are going to be, they're tips. They're not always going to be exactly true in every circumstance, but if they're all there, it probably is, or most of them are there, it probably is a true peer-reviewed scholarly article. The first is an abstract. The abstract is just a short summary, usually about a paragraph long, that describes what the article is about, or the book is about, or the chapter is about. The length of a article, if it's a journal article, is typically going to be a minimum of 8 pages. You can have journal articles that are up to 30 pages, 50 pages, or even 100 pages. Books, of course, can even be longer than that. References. You're going to have a extensive reference section, sometimes called a bibliography, that is going to be tell you where the writer got their ideas and research from. You're typically going to see where each of the authors, how they're affiliated, what their affiliations are, what university are they from, what organization are they with, what is the company they work for, what unit of government are they with. Those are typical affiliations, so they will be there. If those affiliations aren't there, it's highly questionable, because then you don't know who wrote it and what their expertise may be or what their agenda may be. The appearance and format. Academic papers, peer-reviewed papers, are typically going to be text-based, but they're also going to include tables, graphics and figures and charts. They're not going to have advertising in the article itself. They're not going to have illustrations. For instance, something like, if you like Scientific American, they often will have advertisements within the middle of their articles. And the article, you have to skip from place to place to get to it. That is very rare to have in a true academic publication, that you have to skip from one part to the other, or that you would have an advertisement in that article. The body, the appearance, the format is typically, the format's divided into sections, an introduction, which is typically may or may not include the literature review, methodologies used in the experimentation, results and discussion, conclusions, and a reference section. All things are going to be there. Academic works, typically you are in a third person voice. There's very little use of I or we or you. There's going to be a lot of technical language used in the writing, and you're going to need to know that technical language. You, as Christian Leaders Institute college students, are going to need to know the theological technical jargon to read and really do well on your papers. So begin to learn that jargon as you go, as you are going through your classes. And that's what these classes are for, is to pick up that voice, that jargon that you will be using in your papers. If it's a book or a journal article, a textbook, you're going to look to see if the publisher is an academic publishing house or a university, some research organization, professional body. One of the journals I was looking at today was put out by the American Society for Molecular Biology. So it's a professional body that is a recognized authority in the field of molecular biology. Other places are going to be put out academic type books like Oxford Press. So look at the publisher. Is it an academic publisher? Again, all these things are subject to not being always academically journal articles or academic works of literary works, but if they're mostly there, it's pretty sure that it is. and it's pretty sure that it's peer reviewed. So this is just a reminder of what it used to be. I talked about getting the stacks of books of indexes before we had the internet. Before that, you had to go through rows and rows and rows of cards that would tell about the index and what was in the index. They were called index cards. And this would also take hours, if not days. And so we should be very thankful for the internet today. It literally can shorten our work from a very, very long time to just a few hours to have all the resources we need to write a paper or article. To do it well, it will take longer than that. It will take several sessions. But the internet is a great tool for doing this. But remember, not everything on the internet is valid. And so be careful when you're looking for your content, the sources of the ideas and the things that you will be quoting in your college papers that you'll be writing for Christian Leaders Institute, especially when it comes to the Bible. Our Sunday school teacher has really found that to be true, even for commentaries of the Bible, that you have to be very careful with even the commentaries that you read, because many of them are written from a very liberal view, or maybe they're okay in a conservative view, but they're not quite which the denomination that you belong to, the theology, the little nuances of theology that your particular branch of Christianity holds to. So just be careful when you're looking for your resources on the internet. So that's the end of this section. I want to say thank you again for staying tuned in, and I hope that as you're looking for your content that you enjoy the internet and the quickness and the accessibility of the internet, and that you enjoy writing your papers and finding your sources and doing all this work that a writer has to do. God bless until next time. Take care.